A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Thessalonians. Brothers and sisters, on the subject of fraternal charity, you have no need for anyone to write you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. Indeed, you do this for all the brothers throughout Macedonia. Nevertheless, we urge you, brothers and sisters, to progress even more and to aspire to live a tranquil life, to mind your own affairs, and to work with your hands, as we instructed you.
Verbum Domini.
The Lord comes to rule the earth with justice. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done wondrous deeds. His right hand has won victory for him, his holy arm. Let the sea and what fills it resound, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands, the mountains shout with them for joy. The Lord comes to rule the earth with justice. Before the Lord, for he comes to rule the earth. He will rule the world with justice and the peoples with equity. The Lord comes to rule the earth with justice.
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Matteum.
Gloria tibi Domine.
Jesus told his disciples this parable. A man going on a journey called in his servants and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to a third 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. Immediately the one who received 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5. Likewise, the one who received 2 made another 2. But the man who received 1 went off and dug a hole in the ground and buried his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants came back and settled accounts with them. The one who had received 5 talents came forward, bringing an additional 5. He said, "Master, you gave me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant, my good and faithful servant. Since you were faithful in small matters, I will give you great responsibilities. Come, share your master's joy. Then the one who received 2 talents also came forward and said, Master, you gave me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more. His servant said to him, Well done, my good and faithful servant. Since you are faithful in small matters, I will give you great responsibilities. Come share your master's joy. Then the one who had received the 1 talent came forward and said, Master, I knew you were a demanding person, harvesting where you did not plant and gathering where you did not scatter. See, out of fear, I went off and buried your talent in the ground. Here it is back. His master said to him in reply, You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I did not plant and gather where I did not scatter. Should you not then have put my money in the bank so that I could have got it back with interest on my return? Now then, take the talent from him and give it to the one with 10. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will grow rich. But to the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And throw this useless servant into the darkness outside, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Verbum Domini. It's really incredible how much God entrusts himself to us, how much he puts his trust in us. And this concept of a talent really escapes us, for our Lord does not just give randomly, nor does he just give 5 talents to each. He does not give indiscriminately. But God gives according to the ability of each one who receives this gift. So what's amazing is the amount of trust that this man puts in the servants. So the unit of accounting of a talent, we hear it all the time, or when we're preaching, basically Matthew 25, this is worth around 20 years of pay for a common worker. So the master entrusted to the first one 100 years of pay. And he does this according to his ability. And the Greek word is dynamis, from which we have dynamite, but in the Latin, virtutem. So this power, according to the ability, the power of each. And so God, he gives us, he also gives us the power. He gives us the ability to receive the gift and then ensures that we have the energy, the health, the blessings to put it into practice. So he doesn't give us a gift. Sometimes we might even think of charisms, or in the theology of charisms. He gives these when we recognize them to us, and he also gives us the power to live them out, to make them fruitful. And this is what St. Peter says in his second letter. And this is a little long, but I just want to add it to the lectionary as for today, as perhaps a good companion to Matthew 25:14-30. So this is 2 Peter 1:3-11. His divine power, that's God, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, that through these you may escape from the corruption that is in the world because of passion and become partakers of the divine nature. So enter into the joy of the Lord. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness. And godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these things are yours and abound, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful, from burying your talents in the ground, from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these things is blind and short-sighted, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be more zealous to confirm your call and election. For if you do this, you will never fall. So there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So that was 2 Peter 1, 3 through 11. I hope you can see already all the comparisons there with our gospel. So there is some truth that it is difficult to imagine a whole life of fruitfulness. So if our Lord entrusts to us 100 years of age in terms of the talents for the five talents, each of us reacts in a different way. And the chief vice of the third individual was not laziness, but fear of failure and of judgment. He had a morbid fearfulness, which was born out of distrust of God and a shrinking from himself. So in a certain sense, he did more work than the other individuals who simply traded with the money. He had to dig a hole. The master was like, at least, you know, just go to the bank and give it to the bank. You don't have to dig a hole. Just give it to them. At least they could do something. I mean, whatever. And that's what he did. He dug a hole for himself. We have that expression in English. And he put himself in it. So not all hard work. We can try very hard at things that are not praiseworthy and are not fruitful. He lived in the fear born out of misunderstanding of why the master would even do this. So deciding and following through with the digging embittered him against the master, and projected his own fears and judgments of the reasons why the master should not receive more. So we, in some ways, we have it out for God. And as in Psalm 14:5, they have not called upon the Lord. There they have trembled for fear where there was no fear. We spend so much time digging holes in morbid introspection when the other servants go out and encounter other people, and it's possible to think in this, that the other people also benefited from that trade with the 5 or the 2 talents. So using our talents, the gifts our Lord gives to us for the benefit of others, this increases fruitfulness. But God is totally free from our human compulsion to compare. His love for us far exceeds our ability, which in the end is a gift from him, a gift of his love. So the Creator has endowed us with certain powers and abilities which are unique and which to each one of us, and which in their exercise he rewards with greater strength. So we need to trust in God's love for us, to trust in his mercy, which far exceeds the justice that he comes to rule with. So the Lord comes to rule the world with justice, and mercy triumphs over justice. That when we trust in God's love for us and we trust in his mercy, this opens up for us the way to joy, the way to know that God wants us to enter into his joy, to know his love for us, to know the joy of God's heart. And this is what it means even in Nehemiah 8:10, to eat the fat and drink the sweet wine and do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. God trusts us so much, and he gives to us that our joy would be fulfilled, that our joy would be full, as our Lord says in John, I have said these things to you that my joy may be in you and your joy would be full, may be complete. This is the joy that the saints know, whom our Lord has put in charge of many things, and their intercession for us continues to serve God's plan, and we can and should ask for them to intercede for us in the whole world. So to know deeply of God's trust in you, in each one of us. As we say, Jesus, I trust in you, he says, and I entrust myself to you. And we continue to be like St. Peter on the beach, trying to tell our Lord that we love him before the Lord ascends to the Father. So this man is going on a journey, that's Jesus, and he entrusts himself to us, his possessions. So even now, joy in the Lord must be our strength and our impulse to go out and to use the talents our Lord has given to us in his love for us. So find peace in the fact that God has entrusted so much to you. This was done knowing well our abilities. And he entrusts to each one and the keys to this kingdom of joy. So be born anew to this hope and our Lord's great mercy.